And it's good to be with you again. I was here, I think, last March, about 2 months before I officially became Reverend Sue. So, and I think a lot of us had been to a march on the Capitol. I think it might have been the Women's March, but I'm not sure. There have been so many now and then. As a lovely introduction, I work as a community minister in Marion, focusing on justice issues. I don't have a congregation per se. So again, I'm delighted to be with you again, and thank you so much for the gracious invitation and your warm welcome and hospitality. As you may know, the theme for this month's services is sanctuary. This morning's readings paint two pictures of sanctuary, one that holds us in and provides a shelter where we can rest and repair, and one that, once restored, calls us to provide sanctuary to a weary world. I want to spend some time exploring these readings and what they call up for me, and invite you to do the same. Our chalice lighting's words this morning welcome us to this holy place, this shelter for our hearts and hopes, a sanctuary for our deepest longing, a place where we hope to find rest and repair, connection and comfort, a place where we hope to find our center, our breath, our voice, and once finding those, that we discover strength within ourselves to go out into the world and be shelter for others. For me, one of my early sanctuaries was my Italian grandparents' home in Brackenridge, Pennsylvania, just west of Pittsburgh. A small white two-bedroom stucco house that my grandpa Louis built on Atlantic Avenue, with money he earned from working 6 days a week at the nearby coal mines. The house was surrounded by soft pines and my Grandma Rose's well-tended flowers and a statue of Mary, the mother of Jesus. As you may guess, she was Catholic. It was there that my grandparents, who emigrated from southern Italy, raised three sons, including my late dad, Bill. The door to their home was always open to family, friends, as well as strangers. Whoever came and whenever they came, they were always welcomed with open arms and the wonderful smells wafting from the kitchen. It might be bread baking, spaghetti sauce simmering, or coffee percolating. One of the first things Grandma Rose would always ask was whether you were hungry. And regardless of your answer, she'd usher you into the kitchen and eagerly serve you a home-cooked meal and a cup of coffee. What I remember most about their homes, besides the great food, was the warm hugs, the loud conversations among relatives, friends, and strangers, gesturing wildly and shared laughter and tears. Here, I could bring my whole self and feel my heart, my hopes and deepest longings. Here, I could find my center, my breath, and my voice. Here is where I learned that all were welcome and all had a seat at the table, including children. Here was where I learned we could loudly disagree without denigrating one another. Here was that I learned that there was a love holding us regardless of our station in life. And here was where I learned about compassion and forgiveness and being there for one another. And that gave me the strength to later go out in the world and to try to be a shelter from others. First, as a journalist, giving voice to those whose stories needed to be heard. Later, as a teacher and a religious educator, creating welcome spaces for children, youth, and adults to find their voices and words. And now, as a minister, working to provide sanctuary for those facing injustice and inequality. In this morning's opening words, River Call, Reverend Manish Mishra Marzetti begins, "Between rocking the boat and sitting down, between stirring things up and peacefully going along, we find ourselves here in community." What strikes me about this picture is the differences between rocking the boat and sitting down, stirring things up and peacefully going along. Yet, despite those differences, he says, we find ourselves here in community. How often have I searched for community among those most like myself? How often have I been less than welcoming to those who are different, those who rock the boat when I'm sitting down, or those who peacefully go along when I'm stirring things up? How easy it is to talk about being welcoming to all and really mean as long as, and what I really mean is as long as they think like I do. This makes it hard for others to show up in their authentic selves. And it also closes me off from the possibility that I might truly be changed and transformed by those different than myself. As the reading reminds us, each called from many different journeys, many different life paths on this river road. I know that it is these different journeys and different paths that make us more than we can be individually, make us stronger together. And yet these different perspectives often challenge my assumptions and make me reconsider what I see as answers or solutions and keep me from the quick and easy answers I sometimes long for. We are also here for different reasons. Some because the rocking of the boat has been too much, others here with questions about where the boat is going, how best to steer it, or where the journey ends, and still others who are lovers of the journey. Yet we are all still in the same boat, and we must find ways to peacefully coexist, to deeply listen respectfully to each other, to apologize when others tell us our words or actions have hurt them, regardless of our intent, and to be willing to begin again in love. And while we are in the same boat, we have different locations in front, behind, beside. Each of us are also passengers and captains, and all of us are doing the best we can. Still, the river calls to each of us to rest here, to create a sanctuary where each of us can find rest, solace, and time to repair. There is so much today that breaks our hearts over and over. Yesterday's murder of 11 people celebrating their faith at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh by a gunman shouting anti-Semitic slogans. Friday's killing of two black people at a Kroger store in Kentucky. Hatred directed again at trans, genderqueer, and non-binary people. Fear and hatred aimed at migrant people fleeing for safety and headed for our border, which at this time is heavily armed. We need community at times like this. We need each other at times like these. We need a place to grieve and mourn, to mend our broken hearts and gather strength for the days ahead. And still at times I wonder, like these, times like these, where is God? Where is the Spirit? Where is the divine? Kenny Wiley wrestled with that question too in his reflection. He found hope after his mother's death in a Unitarian Universalist church. He found a sense of the divine that told him, whomever you are enough. Whomever you love, you are enough. Whatever your race and ethnicity, you are enough. Whatever your abilities, you are enough. Whatever your economic class, you are enough. Whatever your gender identity, you are enough. You are a human being, so you are enough. I too found a spiritual sanctuary in Unitarian Universalism. For me, it came after years of wandering far from the religions I was raised in, Catholicism and Evangelical Pentecostal Protestantism, and sensing that I needed something beyond a list of what I no longer believed. I needed a community that encouraged me to explore and nurture my spirituality, and a place to experience the divine, the holy, the spirit of life with others. The first Unitarian church that I attended was in Annapolis, where my husband Ken and I were married some 35 years ago by Reverend Fred Muir, who at that time was in his second year there. He recently retired. A short time later, Ken began attending a newly formed UU fellowship in Bowie, not far from our home. Although I liked the people, I wasn't sure whether I was ready to join a church again. Besides, I worked most weekends as an Associated Press reporter in Baltimore. But when Ken told me that the youth group, which met Sunday evenings, was looking for an advisor, I signed on. That decision changed the direction of my life and my work. The youth and I explored life's big questions. Where do I come from? Who am I? Where am I going? We struggled to write what we believed and what guided our lives. We shared our joys and sorrows and learned about our Unitarian Universalist principles and sources, as well as our UU forebearers. I co-taught OWL-led coming-of-age programs and bridging ceremonies and supported the youth in their annual service. I knew I had finally found my spiritual home. I went on to serve as worship and religious education committees, as well as DRE ministerial search committees. I sang in the choir, led services, stepped in when the acting religious educator went on sabbatical, and served on our board and did a stint as newsletter editor. As you can guess, this was a small congregation. The congregation later changed its name to the Goodlum Memorial UU Congregation, in honor of Don Speed Smith Goodloe, the first African-American to graduate from then Meadville Seminary, a Unitarian seminary, in 1906. When Goodloe could find a congregation willing to ordain a black minister, he became the first principal of the Bowie Normal and Industrial School, which went on to become Bowie State University. It was the Bowie Church that planted and nurtured the seeds of my ministry. I went on to become an interim religious educator, serving congregations at Columbia, Paint Branch, Cedar Lane, and Baltimore. I entered Star King School for the Ministry as a part-time, low-residency student while working at Paint Branch, and I graduated in 2015 and was ordained by Goodloe at the UU Church of Annapolis in May of 2015. And finally, I want to talk about Naomi Shabib's Nye's story of her experience at the Albuquerque airport. It speaks to the importance of doing the one thing we can do and how small acts of kindness can connect us despite our differences. This is so needed in our troubled times. Ms. Nye connects with the frightened Palestinian woman through her halting Arabic. The woman, finally hearing some words she understood, stops crying. Ms. Nye reassures the woman that the flight's not canceled and she'll be able to get to El Paso in time for her medical treatment. And they call her son. And then they call her other sons. And then Ms. Nye's father speaks with the women in Arabic. And then some Palestinian poets begin to chat, and all of a sudden, we have a party. 2 hours later, the woman's laughing, and she pulls out her bag of homemade cookies and offers them to all the women at the gate. And soon everybody's covered in powdered sugar, along with two little girls there. Miss Nye ends her story, and I looked around that gate of late and weary ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in, this shared world. Yes, this is the world that I want to live in, too. As Ms. Nye reminds us, this can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. May we work to help recreate this kind of shared world for all. Amen, and may it be so.